It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Coming out of Penn State's bye week, looking ahead Friday night at Maryland, the Big Ten season opener. We'll look at that matchup a little more closely a little bit later in the week. I wanted to talk about the bye week itself and three games of the season. Young Greg over here has rewatched all those games and come out with some conclusions. And this is just Greg's safe space here.
Yes.
To say what he wants to see fixed coming out of those three non-conference games and looking ahead to the meat of Penn State's Big Ten schedule. So let's talk about your priority items. I know one, you know, starts up front on the offensive side of the ball. What you want to see from this line, maybe to be, you know, not a slightly above average unit, but yeah, maybe something a little bit more dominant than that.
Well, I think that we've seen, again, this really is a problem that has stretched the Franklin era in a lot of ways. I mean, we've seen instances where this group looks dominating. I mean, they kicked butt on that long touchdown drive that, you know, Noah Kane was in against Pittsburgh. And there were a couple other series like that spattered over the course of the non-conference slate too. But there were also some series where, you know, that we were seeing, again, two guys blocking one guy, or, you know, three-man rush getting there when Penn State has five or six guys in the block. I do think that it's more than just the offensive line. I think Sean Clifford has held the ball on a few instances too long.
Yeah.
And that's something with a young quarterback you have to just get deal with early in his time as a starter. I think the running backs at times have been incredibly unhelpful, almost not helpful at all when it comes to pass blocking. So that has played a role too. You know, if your five guys up front are blocking who they're supposed to be, and then the running back who's supposed to pick up that sixth blitzer can't do it, you know, you might blame the offensive line for the play not going anywhere, but what more can those guys do? So I would like to see, you know, maybe a little bit more consistent push from those guys. I think this is a veteran-led group that, you know, they clearly like what they have with C.J. Thorpe. They clearly like what they have with Mike Miranda. Des Holmes is staying some time. I mean, they've played a lot of guys in a non-conference. And the big question I'm left with now is, what are they going to do now that Big Ten play is here? Are they going to keep playing seven or eight guys, or are they going to, you know, try and get a five out there and stick with it? Dustin, it seems like they're going to play seven.
Yeah, it's really tough to say about that one, because and James Franklin went into this whole notion of rotating guys. I took what he said this week about rotating guys, and I'm on James Franklin's side on that for the most part. I'm not sure about the offensive line though, because it is such a chemistry and such a five guys working as one unit kind of thing. It just does seem like it disrupts the whole continuity, the flow, and the rhythm and the chemistry of that group when you are making changes as frequently as they have been. I get the upside there that you get multiple people involved. So if you do have an injury, which is a highly likely occurrence over the course of 12 games, you're going to need one of those guys to come in. You'll be grateful that they're out there. But, you know, it does seem to disrupt what they're trying to accomplish up front. So we'll see. I mean, I do think the ingredients are fine. I'm not sold that these ingredients are supposed to come together in a way that they dominate this season. I think there's some potential for that, but I'm not sure if this is the mix of faces where this becomes a dominant group. Like, if they weren't a dominant group last year, I just don't know how you can say they'd be a dominant group this year.
Right.
And that's why I think that's what we've seen. They might be upper middle of the Big Ten. And they'll be fine. They're going to have their moments, you know, as you mentioned in that drive with Noah Kane on the field against Pitt. They're also going to have their moments where things break down and, you know, the running backs are going to be asked and required to pick up extra bodies as they normally do. But that might be something, as a little offshoot of this conversation, that helps separate the running backs.
Right.
Who's getting Sean Clifford killed? Who's not?
Right.
You know, Ricky Slade put in a pretty mediocre effort early against Pitt and got Sean Clifford lit up. It wasn't that he wasn't in the right spot. He just didn't give enough. That was my amateur opinion.
Yes.
And that's the kind of stuff that's going to get you knocked down that depth chart.
Exactly. And I think that's one thing Penn State had to go back and do during this bye week. And I know we're getting maybe a little bit away from the offensive line conversation.
We're going to go wherever we want, Greg.
That's right. That's right. We'll just take a big tour. But the one thing that jumps out to me is if you are going to look for some separation in that running back rotation, yeah, things such as big explosive plays and finding the holes and being useful in the pass game are all pretty important. But the other thing that's important is doing your job when you're asked to stay in and block. And I think Jawan Sider has to take a long, hard look at which of those four guys is best at doing that, because you can't have a guy on the field, even if he can run for 100 yards, if he can't stick his nose in there and chip a guy or block a guy to give enough time for a play to free up, it's not going to make a whole heck of a lot of difference how fast he can run or how shifty he is or how good his vision is, etc.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. October 5th, Penn State returns home to Happy Valley. Purdue coming to town. I think you should be coming to town as well. It's a Saturday noon kickoff. Makes sense to arrive on Friday and leave on Sunday, which is exactly what you can do through GoPSURV.com. The ultimate tailgating experience includes a shuttle back and forth to Beaver Stadium. You truly do not have to worry about a thing. You come stay in one of their luxurious RVs. You leave on Sunday. You watch college football really all through the night on Saturday, if that's what you want to do. They got a big screen TV there in the lot. GoPSURV.com. Check it out while you still have a chance to make some plans for Purdue. What's next on the list for you? I know sticking on offense, this seems like a pretty general point that you would hope over time with some experience, maybe the bye week practices can help, but Sean Clifford just finding that connection with his playmakers.
Yeah, I think that one thing that jumped out most after going back and rewatching the first three games is, you know, we can talk about Ricky Ronnie and the offensive play calling, and sometimes it feels a little too rigid, sometimes it feels a little too uncreative, sometimes it feels like time and situation don't match with formation and personnel that are on the field, but there's also no question that there's been some incredibly untimely drops and some just missed deep passes that if those plays are made, Dustin, we're not probably talking about a 17-10 win over Pittsburgh. We're talking about a 27-10 win, if not more. So, you know, that's one area for me, I think, that you kind of have to, you know, take with a grain of salt some of the Ricky Ronnie criticism, I think, because while, yeah, there's no question there are times when you just sort of throw your hands in the air and say, what the heck's going on here? Conversely, I think that if a couple more plays are made on the field with the calls that were made, you know, we're talking about how good those calls were as opposed to, you know, maybe how frustrating Ronnie's play calling tendencies are at times. So it's an interesting balance to try and strike as, the month of September winds to a close.
And I think the thing that we do have to keep in mind is, what are the odds that a first-time starting quarterback, you know, he's three games into his career as Penn State starter, is really going to be firing on all cylinders, is really going to be in command. You know, that's one of the things that I think you could probably say about Clifford. I think he's made some plays. I think he's shown some glimpses. I think he's backed up what we thought in terms of his ability to get the ball down the field, to be aggressive, to use his legs. Like, he's shown a lot of what we would hope to see from him. But what it kind of comes down to for a young quarterback is a command, and in some of these cases, just a lack of command when it comes to game flow.
Yep.
And yeah, I think there's some of that as well. There's third down struggles. So Penn State has not been in a rhythm offensively, and I think there's a lot of different reasons for it. And the chemistry with the wide receivers can be part of it. But I think when you boil it right down, you do have a young quarterback. You do have a guy who's seeing things for the first time, who's going to see something different from every opponent that he faces. That just, you know, film and practice can't really make up for a lack of game experience.
Right, and the other thing too is it just seems like they're just missing by a little bit. And I think that's, again, back to the, you know, you can throw 100 passes in practice during the summer on air or with a guy defending, but it's just not going to, you can't recreate those chances to make those plays in a game. And I think we've seen, again, just a couple instances where they're not missing by much, but they're missing by just enough to, you know, to hamper the effort. And, you know, the biggest thing in my mind is once those plays start to happen, I think we'll probably be talking less about both the issues of Ricky Ronnie's play calling, maybe the issues of the offensive line, maybe the issue, you know, it's amazing how one or two big plays can sort of turn around the whole outlook of the way you look at a game.
It's hard to separate. And this is always one of the big challenges when you're trying to evaluate stuff in a vacuum is take away the results for a second and look for the process on how they got there. And I think sometimes against Pitt, I think you're right that the process was right. I think it's the right call to have been aggressive as often as they were aggressive because, you know, what Pitt does is they dare you to be that.
Right.
And I think that can be within the personality of Penn State's offense. As soon as we get a feel for what that personality is, we talked last week just about we don't really know what the identity is yet. I think being aggressive down the field could develop and be part of that. How about with Ricky Ryan? I know you mentioned him, but the approach from him as we get into Big Ten play as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, that, you know, consistency is a pretty big factor in all of this. And it's consistent play calling. It's consistent personnel usage. You know, how do you find a way to get KJ Hamler open? How do you find a way to get Noah Keene on the field when you're trying to, you know, bully your way to a win? How do you find the space and time to get Sean Clifford more chances to throw downfield? All of these things are, you know, plays and instances that we saw some during the first three games, but not in every game. And I think that, you know, that is a very big part of, you know, how this team is going to fare once conference play begins. You know, you talk about identity. There's times when it looks like this can be a well-rounded offense. It looks like it, at times it can be an offense that can, you know, hit you in the mouth and go 13 plays for 70 yards and a touchdown. And then sometimes it looks like it can do, you know, it can also do the two plays, 80-yard drives for touchdowns. And is that going to be how this group looks by the middle of October as the schedule starts to pick up a little bit? You know, I think that'll be interesting to watch. But, you know, do they have an identity yet? I don't know. Is that as bad of a thing for Penn State's offense as it seems to be for Michigan's? No, I don't think. I mean, what is Michigan? Well, I mean, a different conversation here, but what the heck is Michigan on offense? I don't think they know.
They don't know. They don't know. And they had a bye week to try to figure that out.
Yeah.
And they came out of it still not knowing what they're trying to do. I think it's a real clash of cultures. It's you know, Jim Harbaugh has always wanted, you know, to line up with big personnel and to be physical and run it down your throat, to be counterculture.
Yep.
Then why are you hiring Josh Gattis? If you're bringing in a guy, and maybe Josh Gattis just doesn't have a feel for what he's doing yet, I suspect he's losing in the meeting room on this offense, and that Jim Harbaugh is having his way, which was the concern in the first place.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we'll see how it all works out. But, you know, I think that moving forward, Penn State can't waste its bye week like Michigan did. It has to come out and show a little bit more of a direction, I think, in terms of what exactly it wants to be. I think it has a pretty good idea. But, you know, again, you want to see it more often than not.
And the struggle of trying to create big plays and trying to stay on schedule, those goals don't always mesh. Penn State trying to find that right balance of the two, being aggressive and being conservative. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from James Franklin right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.